Tonight, I'm actually live from my house, the Starner house. My wife's, this is actually my wife's bourbon collection behind me, if you can believe that. Those are all her bottles. So we are live. This is going to be weird because my cats are running around and I'm at my house. And so it's going to be a little bit different here. We're at the house. Rocky is actually at the Cigar Mansion. I'm joined tonight by my good friend and world famous comedian, Rocky Dale Davis. And then we've got Boom Boom here, as well. Boom Boom is downstairs at the mansion.
Not quite famous.
Yeah, not so famous. Boom Boom is famous if you know the mansion. So we actually have R and R tonight. Both of us, this streamer thing, it's R cubed tonight. So we've got the three R's, right? We're all here, and we've all got on, I don't know if anybody can see Boom Boom's hat, but we have all got on the brand new R&R lids. These are only available tomorrow at R&R's 9th. Can you believe it? It's been 9 damn years. 9 years we've been doing this. It feels like 20. It's, you know, they say time flies when you're having fun, right? You know, and they say that if you work a job you love, you'll never work in a day in your life. And I got to tell you, both of those things are horseshit. They're not true. They're not true. You're going to work. And it does feel like forever, even though I love doing what I'm doing. But so we've got my pal, Rocky. How are you doing tonight, pal?
What's up, man? What's up? I love Boom Boom's camera. Yeah. It's just
could it be more boomery?
It is. It is hilarious. It is the first camera ever created. It is great.
Yeah. It's literally like an iPhone 4, like. Boom Boom, you gotta like kind of clean your camera up a little bit.
I wonder if that's what it is. I wonder
if
you
probably,
wiped it.
Yeah, it's probably Boom Boom has been using his finger too much, you know. I
think it's just your camera.
No, that made it worse. That made it worse. It's really bad.
Oh, that's great.
Rocky,
you know what it is? It's the low light. It's the low light in the stadium.
Yeah,
I'll move.
Okay, so I'm going to mute Boom Boom's mic now. So, so Rocky just flew in on his private jet
from Las Vegas
after doing a comedy show, doing some comedy shows. Rocky's going to be at the mansion tomorrow night doing a live comedy show out in the tent at the mansion. And Rocky is a... they say he's pretty funny. I'm hoping to laugh tomorrow night.
I don't know. Do you enjoy a show, but you're not an over the top like yeller. Like you don't laugh, but it's not like Like Randy gives me so much. He goes full laugh. Like if I look at him, he'll give me a full sold response.
Yeah. Yeah. It's he's laughing on the off the mic. But the thing, yeah, I'm not an old yeller.
No, you know? You're not.
It's
you
not
enjoy I'm, it. You enjoy it. Like yeah. you'll have a good time. Like you don't cackle, like yell.
Yeah, well, I'm a man, so I don't cackle. You know, that's typically like something that women do.
No, dude, it's a good joke. So you gotta get a cackle.
I can get a belly laugh in every night. It takes a lot.
It does.
For me to get a belly laugh.
It's very rare. I see you
belly laugh out of me. It's going to have to be like Dane Cook.
Yeah,
I'll belly laugh for Dane Cook.
That says a lot about you.
I think it says I appreciate fine things, like yeah. My wife, who's actually, my wife is in the kitchen right now. Can you believe it?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I just love how I love how Randy moved to a worse spot, though, because now there's like
it's so bad. It's literally so bad. So, all right. So, Rock, you've had an eventful week.
Yeah, man. It's been unbelievable.
Yeah, you've had an eventful week. You went from just random ass. I just saw your private chat. you've had an unbelievable. You went from Brookwood's finest to now you're verified on like social media.
Yeah,
and you're like you got a shout out from Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
It's pretty crazy, ain't it?
On Instagram.
It was like a month process where like everything changed so much. Like just changed. Like I was in Vegas doing 6 p.m. shows a lot of times for 7 or 8 people. I've had like 4 people try to fight me. It was like I was making $50 a show and it was not fun. And then just randomly just TikTok hit, Instagram hit, and then I found out that Rock followed me. And then when he reposted the video, it was insane, dude. Like it's just been such a drastic month because I've seen y'all a lot of quarantine, and I was just every month I saw y'all, it seemed like it got worse. I was like, yeah, still no unemployment. Yeah, no, we're getting evicted. And then just to have a crazy turnaround. And that's what they always say. Like they always say it's like overnight. It literally felt like it was overnight because I got back home and my mom was just like, what's happening? What is going on right now? I've sold out, I think, 8 shows in a row now.
Yeah, that's crazy. And
insane.
Yeah, that's crazy. So like, he followed you first.
Yeah, and I didn't even know he followed me. I had a guy come to a show that I met in Denver, and he's like, dude, I saw The Rock followed you. That's great. And I was like, oh no, man, it's a fake account. I've been getting a bunch of fake accounts that use The Rock's photo. And he goes, no, it's the real. I'm like, buddy, The Rock didn't follow me. And then he shows me. And then I'm literally about to walk on stage and do the 6 p.m. show. And I just start freaking out. I'm like, what? And I was just blown away. So I got drunk that night and I made a video. I wanted to thank him. My girlfriend was like, why don't you just get up tomorrow and be sober and make a nice thank you video? I'm like, because that's not what I do.
Yeah.
Let's let it live, dude.
Yeah. Because
if I would have made like a proper like, thank you, Mr. Dwayne, he wouldn't have shared it. But because I was drunk, crying.
Yeah, you were, and then you called me, right? You called me.
I called 50 people. Yeah, you were one of the people I called that night.
Yeah, I hope I was one of the first.
Yeah, you're pretty first. Yeah, you were, because I had the R&R cups in the video.
Yeah, you did. You did have R&R cups. And then you called me, and it was like, what? It was like, I swear, it was like 2:30.
Yeah, it was 12 in Vegas. So it'd be like 2:30 here.
Yeah, and I was in a wicked game of zombies with Devin and Danny, and it was really wild. So I answered because I'm like, why? I'm looking at my phone, and I'm like, why in the hell is Rocky calling me at 2:30 in the morning? Like,
is he in jail?
Yeah, I mean, because literally, I'm thinking like, okay. You know, like, fuck, I'm going to have to go to Vegas. You know, I'm going to have to go to Vegas and bail Rocky out of some, you know, like hotel jail or something.
You know,
maybe he got busted with a hooker. I don't know.
Both of them could happen.
You're in Vegas, man. You know, anything goes out there.
You're more likely to get busted by a hooker than get a speeding ticket there. So, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe you were having tough times with your girlfriend. You know, I don't know. I was kind of like, okay. And then you're like, so I have all this. So for me, I have all of this stuff building up.
You're coming into it negatively, right?
Like, yeah, I have. Yeah, because
you're like, this is going to be bad.
Yeah, I'm like, fuck, it's 2:30 in the morning. And so I'm like,
good news at 2:30.
Yeah, no. Nothing good happens after 2 in the morning. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, fuck, you know, what is he calling about? What is he calling about? And I'm worried because I'm like, you know, I'm going through all this stuff in the half second before I go, hey, what's up, man? What do you need? And then you go, hey, dude. And you're slurring, right? You're slurring. You're
so
like,
drunk.
You're like, dude, you're never going to believe this. Guess who just followed me on Instagram? And I'm like, dude, you called me at 2:30 in the fucking morning to tell me about some fucking Instagram follow? Like, are you kidding me? Like, and you're like, dude, it was The Rock. I'm like, okay, well, oh, cool. Oh, awesome. That's great. Good for you, Rocky. I'm going back to my zombies game now.
Yeah, you know? I called everyone. I called literally 50 people, and everyone's response was so funny. Or like, some people were like, all right, cool. And some people were like, what, dude, that's crazy. It was, but I was so, so drunk that night. It was great. It was the best. It was one of the funnest nights of my life, just because it was like, I was crying and I was like, this just feels like validation from all this hard work I put in.
So like, which was like a more fun night? The first time you had sex or when The Rock followed you?
The Rock followed me. Not even close.
Okay.
Not even close, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, definitely. I mean, not even remotely
close. Which would you rat? Like, so you met Clackler, right?
Yeah.
Which was more important? Which one gets you? Which one do you think more fondly about? The Rock following you or meeting Clack for the first time?
I mean, Clack's a big one, man. That's a tough one, honestly, because Clack is, I mean, he's almost a celebrity. I mean, he, you know, they had the, you know, he's a simp champion, right? Isn't he the champion of Simp Madness?
Yeah.
And, I mean, so it's very close. I'm still going to take
the Rock. Yeah, he has the belt like The Rock does.
Yeah, so I'm still going to take The Rock because I've known about The Rock more. But, I don't know. It's very close, though, because, you know, I mean, Simp Madness is not easy to win. That was a public poll. I mean, he essentially won a seat in office, honestly. It's very impressive.
So, all right. So I mean, and then he shouts you out on video. Right. So here he actually makes a post about
my video. Yeah.
Yeah. With your video.
Yeah. That was awesome.
I mean, like, what is that like to get like, I mean, like I've been retweeted by some people before, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, what is it like to get like an actual post randomly from The Rock for those of us that will never know what that's like?
Yeah, it was weird because I was in Vegas talking to my buddy about it, and we were talking about it. He's like, dude, what if he reposted your video? He's like, well, what if he messaged you? And I was like, well, he'll never repost the video. I'm like, but he may message me. And I was like, if he messages me, I'll lose my mind. And then I like a week or two went by, or maybe longer than that, and I was in Dallas with Jarrett Trudeau from Kristoff, and we were sitting in his garage just smoking cigars, watching a movie. And then I got like 50 messages at one time. And I was like, what the fuck's going on? And I picked up my phone and everyone had the video of me like talking about The Rock. And I was like, okay, whatever. But then I saw The Rock posted it. And I just threw my phone at Jarrett and I was like, read this to me. And he was like, what? And then he looked and he's like, are you fucking kidding? And it was, dude, it was like, it's insane. It's just the ultimate validation. It was I was just sitting there. I called 90 people again, got really drunk that night. It was crazy. And then the next day when I went to Nashville, my favorite comedian, Nate Bargatze, was there. And we did a show. And I saw The Rock reposted your video, man. It's weird because, like, everyone saw it. And I booked 2 dates off of that. People had seen it, like comedy club bookers.
Yeah. So, like, what does that do for your brand as a comedian?
Now, well, I mean,
your prices went up, I guess, right?
Yeah, definitely. Prices definitely went up. That's why people that got Tuscaloosa for $10, you guys got to. We could have did 2 shows too, because I've gotten about 40 messages of people asking.
This is the perfect place to announce it that we can do 2 shows tomorrow night.
I just don't want to do it on a day's notice.
Well, fuck it. That's what we do here. That's why we're the mansion, pal.
I don't want to do two shows. I will do another show. We'll do another show for sure.
We'll do another show.
But it was like, I mean, everything was going well before he, like, even before he shared it. Like, it's, so it's like, just off of him sharing it, it was, I've gotten, I think in a day, I got 8,000 followers, which is pretty crazy. And then, like I said, I had two comedy club bookers hit me up. And,
to like put that in perspective, I have like 2,000 followers on Twitter. So, like, you had four times as many followers as I have had since I joined Twitter in 2009. You got that in a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what was the wild part. It was just so, it was so crazy. And then Jared's like, hey, you got to put your, we got to do something. He's like, cause you're just going to stare at your phone. I literally was just staring at my phone, just like watching everything go up. And then it was just, it's insane. And I think one of my shows sold out that night, like another one. I had just did Austin the night before, it sold out. So it was insane, dude. It's a very humbling experience, because I grew up with him. He's like one of my biggest, like, of people that I wanted to meet, he probably was the biggest, because I never thought I would ever meet him. Like, when are you going to run into The Rock? Like, it just doesn't happen. Especially for him to say that you're funny and then say your name, like, multiple times. That's what's crazy.
Yeah. That's, I've met a lot of famous people. I've been very cool. Like, I've been very fortunate to meet some people, you know, like, I know you, you know, I know
some big athletes come to the shop. You've got some big,
I mean, like, I've talked about the weather with Nick Saban before.
That's awesome.
You know, some people would kill to talk about the weather with Nick Saban.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have. I talked on the phone with R. Kelly before, you know, before he peed on anybody. So
I was about to say, I'm like, so are the cops.
Yeah. it wasn't a wet conversation. You know,
Debbie said he was very nice.
Yeah, he was very nice. Yeah. I met Rick Ross. I met the biggest boss, Rick Ross. Let's see. I mean, Rick Ross is probably about the biggest person I don't mean that as a fat joke to Rick Ross. If you're watching this, sir, I think your music is fantastic, but Rick Ross is probably like the most famous person I've met. And that's like paling in comparison to The Rock. I mean,
yeah, I think he's the third most followed Instagram page in the world.
Yeah. He has like 400 million followers, I think.
Yeah, it's like 214. I don't know why I just said, I think. I know exactly how many. He has 214 million.
Okay.
And so,
like, he has literally two-thirds of the population of America. Two-thirds of America follow him.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. That's
crazy.
And that's what's crazy to meet. So, like, versus meeting him would have been great, and I would have handled that a lot differently. I would have just been – because I try when I meet someone that I do like to be just very, like not starstruck. But for him to repost it and say I was funny, that's like what was the crazy part. That's the part that blew my mind. Cause like I met Jeff Foxworthy, and like he called me funny, and like that was like one of those moments. Yeah. It's different to meet someone that I did, like with some of the people I've met that I never, like I met Dave Chappelle, and that was amazing, but like he'd never seen me perform. So he just sees me as some random person he met in New York that night. But then to have them say that you're good at what you do, that is like crazy, insane.
Yeah. All right. So you're a comedian and you tell jokes for a living. Okay. Yes. All right. Yeah. So I want you to go ahead and tell a joke.
I can't just do a joke right here. That's not how it works. I told you this. This is not how it works.
If you're a comedian, you can tell a joke.
No, you don't. That's not how you, I'll tell you a knock knock joke. The same.
Okay. Tell me a knock knock joke. Let's go.
Okay. What did the fish say when it
That's
hit the
not
brick
a knock
wall?
Knock joke.
It counts as a joke. What did the fish say when it hit the brick wall?
I don't
Damn.
Know.
Damn.
I know the answer to that one.
Boy, that's a boom boom joke, pal.
Yeah, that's a hey, Randy had a good one the other day.
I think
he had a hitter. Randy will pull some.
Wait, I had a good joke?
Yeah, you had a really good one like last time I was here.
I'm scared to hear it. Okay, boom boom. So go ahead and tell a joke, boom boom.
I wish I could hear that.
No,
you know what? I can't remember. Did I tell you a joke?
You told her the whole room.
Rocky, did I tell you a joke?
Fluffopotamus, you told all of us a joke. Oh, it was amazing. It was mine. I did. I think what it was dirty, it? Too. It was dirty.
Oh, no.
It was something about like two hookers or something.
It might have been ambiguous.
I don't know that word.
No, I don't know any.
You said that so funny. You're like, I don't know any hooker jokes.
At least he doesn't know any.
I don't think I do.
That's so great. No, it doesn't work in a conversation like this. That's not how you tell a joke. You got to get the on stage. What?
No, but it's always funny. It's always funny when Reagan asks you to do that. And I've seen him do this a couple of occasions. And you know that it can't work, right?
Exactly.
But it's kind of funny, just the whole, like that's what we do. That's what we lay people do, is we hear a joke and we repeat a joke.
Yeah.
Right? That's what we do. But a comedian has to tell a semi-believable story.
Yes.
And a narrative. And he's got to do that for 45 minutes. And it's got to kind of tie itself together it's literature.
Yeah.
And really so at some point, Rocky will be like a doctor of letters from Yale or something, where they'll give him an honorary degree for his literary efforts
and I his cannot
domination of
the
English.
That's such an eloquent way to say that. You speak like a politician. It's so great. All my jokes are so stupid.
Vote for me.
You're a literature. No, it is very hard.
I mean, I can tell a joke.
Yeah, it's not going to be funny, but yeah.
I work for the Derrickson Lander Center for Kids Who Can't Read Good.
Yeah. Okay, so everybody's talking about To the Moon. I don't know if you've seen the Twitter lately. Everybody's talking about To the Moon, talking about this Dogecoin. And they're all saying, oh, it's going to the moon. So in honor of the moon, how do you know when the moon is broke?
How?
When it's down to its last quarter. What did Neil Armstrong say when no one laughed at his moon jokes?
What?
I guess you had to be there.
What are you? That's so stupid.
That's what comedy is half the time, right?
No, that's not what comedy is. That is what regular.
Retelling a joke. What is comedy?
Comedy as a stand up is the art of almost like it's like truth telling. It's storytelling, and then if you write you have to write what's that aristocrats jokes? Like those are all just the ones that are repeated. Like it's like those, like doing an actual set. What I do, which is like 7 to 9 minute stories most times, you can't just tell one of those. That's why I never tell people in like Ubers or anything, I'm a comedian. That is the last thing you do.
Right, because they'll say, oh, you're a comedian, tell me a joke. And then you can't do it.
No, exactly. And right. I don't do it. I do not do it at all. Because that's not how. And then also, it's like they don't pay you to do it. So it's like, and it doesn't work to tell a 7 minute story about my grandfather or something. It's just, that's not that they want to hear a hack joke that is retold by their grandfather. That's what they want to hear. I'm an artist, Reagan.
I don't think it's asking a whole lot.
It is. It doesn't work. I've told you.
I'm asking you to do your job, right? Somebody comes to R&R and they say, hey, paid for your.
I get paid off people coming to shows. I get paid off tickets.
Okay. Well, I mean, I get paid off of the cigars that I sell. So if you tell a funny joke.
And you're at a cigar shop when you sell them.
I'm at the golf course, right?
Where cigars are smoked. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And jokes get told at the golf course too, pal.
None original. Again, you're going back to this. It's none of them are original.
I am at the golf course and somebody says, hey, cigar man, give me a cigar. And I'm expected to give them a cigar because I'm the cigar man, right?
And somebody comes to you
and they say, hey, Mr. Joke Man, tell me a joke.
And I'm not and a joke. And
you're going to say, no, fuck you. I'm not on the clock right now.
Exactly. That's come exactly
what I laugh.
Exactly. You pay your $10 if we're in Tuscaloosa. If we're anywhere else, it's $25. And you pay your money and get the fuck out of my face.
Okay, so basically you're equating comedy to hooking. Going back to Randy's comment about hooking.
We're very similar people. We both are emotionally scarred. We both do things for attention, and that's what we do.
Yeah.
And some nights we can make good money. Most nights we don't. But regardless, we get fucked.
But at least you get paid for it sometimes.
Sometimes. They're dependable. Yeah. And we both work a lot in Las Vegas.
See? I'm telling you and hookers, there's a lot going on there. It's a lot.
The strippers and comedians are big fans. Like, we're big. I know a bunch of strippers just because I always go to Waffle House after a show, and they'll be there when they get off from their from the club.
What are strippers like after they get off work?
The most regular, just tired people.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a stripper off work? They all wear sweatpants and sweatshirts. They just, like, their makeup's all messed up. Yeah. His hair's all fluffed out. And they're just sitting at a Waffle House diner at 2 a.m. in Greensboro, North Carolina. it's hilarious to watch the drastic change. When they clock that, when that time clock goes off, they pop those boots off. They are just done, dude.
See, like, we don't have strip clubs in Tuscaloosa, so.
We don't. What's the one that's outside of town, though? Booby Trap?
I don't know.
Is that in Birmingham? There's Sammy's Go-Go, and there's Wesley's Booby Trap.
What is the other one, Danny?
I thought there was one in Moundville, but I couldn't remember.
There might be one in Moundville. Danny says he thinks there's one in Moundville.
Is the Furnace a strip club in Birmingham?
Yeah, that's the strip club, yes.
Yeah, the Furnace. Yeah. But I think Danny's, we have one.
Danny would be more of a strip club aficionado than me.
Danny looks like he runs a strip club.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with that at all.
Danny's like, get on the pole. Deborah, you've been off work for 2 weeks.
Yikes.
Yeah, I got invited by somebody. They were like,
I'm just wondering how many people are now. How many people are going to get up at 2 o'clock this morning and go to Waffle House as a result of this conversation?
They wouldn't even recognize the girls though if they saw them.
They'd be like, "Oh, I heard strippers are there at 2:30 in the morning."
I would bet it. If you go like one of the closest Waffle House to the Furnace, you would see a girl there at 2 a.m., 3 a.m. just sitting in her sweats, and you wouldn't think that. And the girls that are dressed up aren't the strippers.
Okay, so you've been doing comedy for how long now?
November of 2012. So what is that? Close to coming on 9 years.
Okay. The correct answer was since you were born.
No, dude.
Been doing this since 2012. That's actually the year that R&R opened.
That's
so beautiful. We're both celebrating our ninth year in our professions.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should do a show on the ninth year. I mean, what day is November 12th? That's so crazy. We've been at this for 9 years.
Yeah, 9 years. Yeah, we're celebrating R&R's ninth anniversary tomorrow. You're going to be there doing the show.
Yep. It's going to be great.
So you're from Brookwood.
Yep.
And you were the mascot for Brookwood High School.
Two-time All-American, two-time mascot of the year. Never been done before and never will be done again.
So, like, is being a mascot like being a comedian?
Kind of. I mean, I don't know. Not really. Because you can't really talk. Like, it's like, you actually, like, they're very adamant about talking. One time in Brookwood, they had the guy tried to walk away and, like, take off his helmet because he was getting too hot. Because it's like 130 degrees in those suits if it's a hot night. And so he walked behind this building, but a kid followed him. And the kid saw him just take off the panther head. And the kid was like scarred. He's scarred. He just, because what he thought was a real panther is now just ate a human. There's a human inside of him. No, you can't. I don't know. Maybe a little bit because you kind of just learn to be outgoing, but you're hiding behind a mask. So it's not as much. But what's funny, when I would take pictures in high school, like you have the hole in the mouth so you can see out of. So I would lift my head and like to lift the head up. But like there's tons of pictures where the flash shines in and you can see me smiling. So like. I'm literally in the suit smiling while somebody's taking a picture. Yeah, I don't know. They're similar, I guess, but they're different in a lot of ways. It's more physical. Comedy's a lot more literal.
Do you think that you could do the do you think that you could do the big owl mascot?
That was what I was going to do, man. That's literally what I'm Big Al, the old Big Al in 2011 and 10. He was like the biggest fan of me. And he told me he would basically I could be Big Al. But the problem is I don't know if y'all know this. I'm not very smart. So I literally could not get into Alabama. I think I made a 16 and a 17 on my ACT or SAT. But I had a scholarship. I could have got stuff paid for. Yeah, I got miniature offers from I think LSU and Alabama. They told me they're like, you could definitely come here and be the mascot, which that would have been pretty cool. I gotta be honest, mm-hmm. like being Big Al, dude. So what's funny? Can I say this? Probably. It's about the university. We'll say it. What does it matter?
Yeah, whatever.
So they
we'll edit it later.
Somebody on homecoming. Was wearing the Big Al suit and they had drank milk before and they vomited in the suit. And supposedly that's the one they give Lee Corso to wear.
Oh, lit. That's all. That's great.
I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble for that.
I mean, you know what? They shouldn't have done it if they're that worried about it.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. I would love to have been Big Al. I thought I'd be a professional mascot for a while. Cause like I think they get like $30,000 a year. That's not bad, and you'll work that much, dude. It's a very like simple. They get paid more than the cheerleaders. NFL cheerleaders, I think, get like $100 a game. It's something wild, man.
If you could be any mascot, like what mascot would you be?
For college or
professional? No, period. Like if you could be any mascot.
The one in the gorilla, I think in Phoenix. I like that one. I think his name is actually Rock. Or no, the Rocky's the one in Denver. But my favorite mascot is the Stanford tree, the tree with the eyeballs on it.
Yeah,
have you seen it? It's just the most ridiculous mascot. There's a bunch of mascots, like the one I think Wyoming. He was able to do like front tucks and back tucks. Like he was an athlete. I think Auburn too. Auburn's mascot is actually real. I think he's won nationals like twice, which is a weird thing to say. I mean,
their mascot isn't their mascot like an eagle, and they set it free in the stadium.
That is that. Yeah, I don't know how that they are able to do that, but they have their war eagle, and then their mascot is a tiger. So I don't even know if they know what they are, but there's something. But Albie is a good mascot. Mm-hmm. He was able to do a bunch of flips, man. I could never really do backflips. My head was too big. And they had to buy a new mascot suit for me because I hit puberty when I was mascotting and I got too tall for the suit. So you literally, I would be flooding like this, like have like this much leg showing at the bottom of the suit.
Oh no.
My feet broke off. I stepped on a piece of glass one time. I think I broke my elbow. I hopped off this, off the side of the, this thing and I clicked my elbow. So my elbow's literally just hanging. It's hurting so bad. I'm trying to walk out of the stadium. But I have to walk through like all the kids. So kids are coming by, like jumping on me, taking pictures. Everyone's like, let's take a quick picture. I'm in brutal pain. My elbow's bleeding. It's a hard job, man. It's a hard job.
So did people like ever mess with you when you're a mascot? Cause I don't know if you've seen the movie like Sex Drive, which is a very funny movie, by the way. You probably would like it.
Yeah.
But, like, so this guy, he's a donut. That's the mascot. And so he's this big donut.
Right.
And he can't see anything because he's got the little, you know, the one eye, and he can't see down, he can't see up, he can see straight ahead. So, you know, so people this in the movie, they come up and they take a giant black dildo and they stick it on the mascot. And so he's walking around the mall. Like, hey, kids, want a donut? And it's a funny little segment of the movie there where he's, you know, trying to hug kids with this giant black dildo on. So did people like mess with you when you were a mascot, or like were they typically pretty nice?
They were very nice because I was like, this is going to sound so stupid, but I was like really good. And so, like, no one ever really – everyone really, really embraced it. Like, I wasn't popular before I started mascotting. Mascotting was, like, maybe popular. And because we'd be losing – like, Brooke would be losing every game by 60 points. And so, like, I was the only entertainment most games. So I never got messed with at all, dude. Like, people – people love the mascot. They loved it in Brookwood. They renamed it. They named it, the mascot's Brook. The Brookwood Panther is named Rocky the Panther now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got a little like certificate there of it. Panthers. Yeah, Brookwood Panthers. We got so many Panthers in Brookwood.
As opposed to Tuscaloosa,
does a Panther have a tail?
Do what?
As opposed to Tuscaloosa, which has a lot of cougars.
Amen.
Right, we love those.
Amen.
Hey, so, all right, so it's dangerous work being a comedian. I've heard,
yeah,
that like I've seen some videos.
Right.
The most famous one I think I've seen of yours was the Karen after a show that attacked you.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
That one was the most confusing one. The guy punching me, I could have got out of that 20 times. I agged that on a lot. I still shouldn't have had to deal with it, but it's like that one, a lot of people coming up after shows, like most of them, there's some interaction. There was literally no interaction. Like
so that, what? So tell, so for the people that haven't seen it, tell them what happened there and what the describe the incident for them, because it was just wild to watch the video.
So I did a 7 and 9 o'clock show in Vegas, and I do a lot of crowd work in my sets, but these were only 15 minute sets. So I just did all material, and I did a mostly clean set. It was my milk joke, my hot dog. Like it was, nothing was offensive or anything. And so I do my 7 o'clock set, do my 9. I'm going up first on the 9. I do my set, then I leave. So as I'm walking out to the parking lot, a drunk lady yells at me and she goes, "Fuck you, Captain America." And I didn't even know she was talking to me, but I just kept walking. And then I hear, "Yeah, you're an asshole, Captain America." And her boyfriend's like holding her back. And I looked down, I had a Captain America shirt on. And I was like, I guess she didn't like the show. And I was like, I didn't have any interactions or any hecklers, nothing. And so I turn, I say, "Do what, ma'am?" And she pushes her boyfriend, starts walking towards me. So I pull out my phone and she swings at my phone, swings at me, reaches out and like grabs my arm and starts digging her nails into my arm. Her boyfriend runs over, yanks her. Like grabs her, and I didn't know what to do, so I just go, "I'm going to call the police." And if I bleed, so pulls me off or pulls her off of me, literally bleeding. Right? What's up? So I'm literally like starting to bleed, and then I go, "I'm going to call the police." She goes, "Fuck yeah, call the police. I'm an attorney." Didn't make any sense. I don't know what what I heard happened was during my set on the 7 o'clock show. She walked out with her boyfriend or whatever he was, her husband, I think, actually. And she was yelling at him for laughing at me. I don't know what happened. And then he went to the bathroom and she grabbed a lime and put it in her mouth, started trying to make out with the bartender there. And he wouldn't serve her anything. And so then her sister-in-law comes out and they make out with the lime. And then the husband comes out and makes out with his wife. And then they left. No idea. I mean, that was they obviously were wasted drunk because the bartender wouldn't serve them. But I've tried to think about that night so many times, and I have no idea why she was mad.
Yeah, but that's just weird.
It doesn't make any sense. I don't, and like it had to have been like something I said. Obviously, I just don't know. Like I thought about that night, and I'm like I made fun of Canada. Was she from Canada? Like I don't like, but like it wasn't a mean joke about Canada. I just made fun of the poutine. And to get angry enough, like everyone got mad at me because like you should have called the cops. I'm like, I should have. I was like, but I just didn't know. I should have sued her, honestly, but I just didn't. I didn't know what was happening. Like it went by so quickly. And then I got in my car and I was driving past. They thought I was their Uber. They walked out in the middle of the road and tried to open the door. They felt I was their Uber. And she looked inside and I flipped her off. And then she punched the window and I drove. I was just like, I don't know what is going on right now.
Yeah. So you've had people try to fight you after shows.
Well, that's happened. That happens every week in Vegas.
Because my favorite part of your shows is always the crowd work.
Right.
And that's what got you noticed by The Rock, you know. Yeah. And so like because I remember when you were at the mansion last time, you were making fun of this one guy. Right.
Big dude. Yeah.
He was and that was what was surprising to me was you picked the biggest guy there. You picked the biggest guy and you just ripped him all night long. And he was like a ginger guy. He was big. He had a beard. And I mean, he looked like a, he looked like a lumberjack, kind of like a fat lumberjack, but you know, still, I'm not saying I would have taken you in a fight over him, but like, you know, I don't know, but it was kind of weird. Cause you're just making fun of the guy the whole night. And it was hilarious. I mean, you had Ryan Anderson in tears. I mean, you even made fun of Ryan Anderson some that night too.
Yeah.
And Ryan Anderson's not a guy I would pick a fight with.
Not an NFL athlete.
Yeah. He's an NFL athlete. He's a linebacker. So he you know,
used to hitting people.
Yeah. He hits them and he hits them hard without his fists. So, you know, you pick on, like, that's what's crazy is it's like you pick on these big guys. And then so sometimes they get really mad.
Never happens. That no. I've never, the only time it happened last week, a guy sat up front of my show. But by the way, I've never made fun of anyone, just like made fun of them, and they've ever just gotten mad. It always happens where if I tell someone to be quiet, that's where it goes from. So that last week, this guy named Tyler was probably the only person where I was doing crowd work and he was yelling and standing up and raising his hands and everything. And I was making fun of everyone around him. He's loving it. And I look at him and I go, thanks for missing the Breaking Benjamin concert to be here tonight. And he just got like so mad. And I was like, what? And then he goes, why would you say that? And I was like, because of your gauges. And he's like, he grabbed him and threw him on the table. Small guy. And they tried to come on stage and they grabbed him. But like, he's probably the only person ever that like I said something to. But I quit talking to him like immediately, like after that. Like he lost his mind. But people I make fun of, and I've been brutal with some people. Like I've been brutal. Those are the ones that love the show the most. And I'm pretty good at reading people. Like last week I had a show, a guy was in prison, had been in prison. I called it out. I knew it. I had a guy, I said he had a white name. His name was Albert, like Benjamin or something. I said, all my people that come to my shows usually are real estate. I ask a guy what he did. He goes, I'm in real estate. So it's like, I'm pretty good at reading people. So it's like, I would never make fun of someone that just is like, you know, comes to my show and is like angry. Like if I felt angry, I just pull away and go on to someone else. That big guy loved the show. He loved it. So it's like, that's never the issue. The issue is people talking, getting too drunk. And also people, if I was a bigger guy or not, sorry, like if I was like fat or like if I was, you know, like, you know, one of my friends is fat and he does crowd work and he could say whatever he wants because everyone takes me as like attacking them. If I tell them to be quiet, and that's just the issue. Cause I don't do well with talking at my shows. So that's why Vegas, I literally had a lady last week. She's talking the entire time. I tell her to be quiet. She says no. And I was like, well, you don't know how this works. And so literally just told her to be quiet. And then she got mad after the show and was crying. She's like, I was helping the show, which you're never helping the show. Yeah. I had a guy try to fight me in Atlanta once, told him to be quiet. He's like, come outside. Yeah.
Go ahead. When you were in Birmingham, in Hoover, and Clack and I went to see you at the first show. I think the rest of the R&R crew came for your
Sunday,
for the next night's show. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, You were. I don't know if you remember the crowd work, but there was a guy that was the
agriculture.
I think he like distributed mulch,
pine
or something pine. Like that. And yeah, he wanted to learn Spanish, and you pulled that out of him.
Yeah, because that guy was awful to talk to. He one worded answer everything I said.
You had trouble getting it out of him, but yeah, then he was golden. Show. It was golden because. He wanted to learn Spanish so he could talk to all of his workers.
That's what he said. And I said, that's the way you handled that reason to learn Spanish. And that guy was so ridiculous because he was so bad to talk to. He sat front row. And I think like everything I asked him, he was like, yes, no, yes, no. And smiling. And I'm just like, dude, talk to me, like have a conversation. And then by the end of the show, I think he said he works for a pine distribution company. And because he knew he was a white guy that knew Spanish. And I was like, why do you know Spanish? Like, to talk to my workers. And I was like, what? And then his girlfriend goes, she goes, obviously it's pine distribution. And I was like, what do y'all talk? Like, I was like, this is racist. This is racist right now. Now that was awful. That was so hard. That lady was that the Birmingham's also so big. I had one lady one time. She sat to the where you sat, Randy, and turned her chair the opposite way and looked at the screen. Because when you're right there at the stage, Stardome, you like on the edge, you can turn and look at the screen. But she had her chair all the way turned around like this, and I look over, and I was just like, "Hey, ma'am, what are you doing?" She's like, "I'm watching the show," and I was like, well, you could turn 7 inches and look at the actual show. You're watching off a screen. You have a front row seat. I was like, what's going on here? Yeah, the crowd work's weird some nights. Some nights it's great, and then some nights it just doesn't. But then, like, well, thankfully, if people come to my shows, every show has been great with crowd work so far. Even Tyler, like, standing up. Like, it was hilarious. People were like, what is going on? I had a guy get choked at a show in Vegas, and it was like, it's comedy is so odd. You never know what you're going to get.
So how do you go about picking, like, when you're like, okay, all right, like, you're looking at the crowd and you're like, oh, yeah, that's the poor bastard that I'm just going to relentlessly mock all night long?
I never look at anybody. I try to just walk on stage, and if I see someone, obviously physical stuff pops out first. So if someone's wearing something or if someone's big or if someone's small or – you know, that's what I always talk about. Or if I'll ask a question to somebody and try to go from there. I never look at the crowd first. I'm always on stage. And if someone's laughing a lot too, I always like talk to them because they're usually like in a really good mood. So they'll talk to me more. If someone's drunk though, I try to avoid any people that are drunk because they'll try to make it their show.
Well, and you don't know. And you can't, people that are drunk, you can't tell, like they could be normal people. But when you mix alcohol in, you never know. That can be a recipe for disaster.
So many people are one beer away from murdering someone.
Yeah, literally. Especially in Brooklyn.
Yes.
I mean, y'all are right next to Lakeview, where the mayor of Lakeview was literally, like, brandishing guns at people that weren't doing what he wanted to in the office of his mayor.
I didn't know that. The mayor of
Lakeview, he's got a list of charges longer than my. Well, it's pretty long, but I mean, he was like extortion, embezzlement, brandishing a weapon. I mean, he had all this stuff, and like Lakeview and Brookwood are like this.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, wow. That's hilarious. I did not know that. That is great.
Yeah. Yeah, you should look it up. It's funny. It's funny stuff. It'd be some good content for you.
Well, it's like when the Russell County's Indians, they were playing like I think McAdory one time in the football playoffs, and their walkout sign was "Hey Indians, get ready to leave in a trail of tears."
Oh no.
And like, I was like, who signed off on this?
Yeah.
Because like, a teacher has to sign off.
That had to go through some committees.
It has to. Right. It has to go through a teacher.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who said this was what we're going with? This is awful.
Yeah. Like, that had to go. Somebody should have lost their job over that one, I would imagine.
That's what I wonder. I wonder, like, what teacher was like, I thought it was like, I didn't even think about it like that.
Yeah,
it's like you're bringing up a literal genocide football game.
They didn't mean anything by it.
No, it's just fun and gay. I don't know if they won the game or not either. I think they actually lost the game.
Well, they probably deserved to. I mean, yeah. To be honest here,
that was God knocking down some of those passes on that one.
I mean, that's crazy. So okay, all right. So I want to talk about this because we're starting to run. We're running out of time. All right. So you did something absolutely crazy. And oh yeah, are you worried about where I'm going?
No.
You know where I'm going? Okay, so you did something absolutely off the wall crazy. They make TV shows about this, but you actually went to Mexico.
Oh yeah.
To go get dental work done. Look at that. I mean, look at that smile. That's a $10,000 smile right there.
Literally $10,000.
Yeah. I mean, so like, were you not
for $342?
were you not like scared at all?
Dude, when you, so we had gotten to the point, and this was all in that time frame of when things were going awful. Like things were like Randy had came to the show. We had filmed that whole weekend. I got my special back. It was they didn't press the crowd mics. I was having tooth pain, insanely bad. My mouth was swollen, and I had to go get antibiotics. I went to a place here in Tuscaloosa that I'm going to go back and get a teeth cleaning there just so they can see how dumb they are. But I went to a place in Tuscaloosa, and they quoted me $24,000, but they said I may need a sinus lift and stuff, which I wind up needing, which would have been after that and the bone grafts and everything. It would have been around $34,000 in total. And they were so rude. They were like, how did we get here? And I was like, yeah. What? And she's like, how did we? Because I'm nervous in dentist offices. I've always had bad teeth. So they were completely rude. I was so mad when I left. And then I was sitting at home that night. My teeth were hurting. And my mom is like, you need to look into going to Mexico. And I was like, you're insane if I'm going to Mexico for dental work.
Because I'm like, I've seen Botched, you know. I've seen those shows. Yeah. I've also seen, like, you know, I know about the cartels.
Right.
You know, so I would think going down to Mexico and saying, hey, bring that, you know, come get your teeth worked on. I could see that meaning like, hey, like it's kind of like the guy that says, hey, come get in the van. I have candy.
Yeah.
You know, that it's like, oh, hey, yeah, we'll work on your teeth. And then you come back with no teeth and your family, you know, you got ransomed to your family and they sent your teeth back to your family to say, hey, yeah, compare these dental records.
Yeah.
So that, you know, and pay us or you know, we're going to send other body parts to you.
No, that's literally what I thought. Like that's so that night after my mom told me that I looked up YouTube videos and I was like Mexican dental work. And I found a guy that's actually from Alabama. He lives in California and his name is Soling Jules or something. It's a YouTube page for him and his wife. And he went down there and he talked about how amazing it was. And I watched like 20 other videos and they all said the same thing, how amazing it was. And I looked up a place called Dental Departures and the place I wound up going to, Sani Dental Group, they have like a 4.8 star rating with like 5,000 reviews. And I was like, I'm going to do this. And so I sent them my stuff. I had an x-rays. I sent them down there. They quoted me at first like $9,000 and for all the work that they wanted to do up here in America. And so I drive across the country. I stay in Yuma, Arizona. And here's where it gets sketchy. Because once you pass over from Arizona into Mexico, it's Mexico. It's not like some sophisticated town. It's like the roads are like mostly dirt. Like it is very like there's like a bunch of street shops. It's very, very weird. And then I went to this hotel. It's like an okay hotel. And I went over there and I was so nervous about going in. I walked in the office down the street. And when I walk in, though, it's like amazing. It's like a beautiful dentist office. And they go through all the COVID protocols, and then I get in the room. Their X-rays there are so much more sophisticated than America. They have like 3D X-rays where they can like measure the length of like bolts and stuff that are going to be in your mouth. It's 3D inside the tooth. It's amazing. And they gave me a value.
I know a lot of people that measure things before they put it in somebody's mouth, though.
Amen. So they gave me a volume because I was so nervous. And then they did all the work in 4 days. I have to go back and get the implants actually put on because they had to drill it. They had to wait 6 months. But they did all the work in 4 days that in America, she told me it would be like a year process to do it all. Jeez. And they did it for like literally one third the price. And it was amazing. My teeth don't hurt at all. I have no issues at all. They look great to me.
Yeah, I think I think you got a great smile now.
Yeah, and I've been self-conscious about it forever, and I've been in immense pain. That's the biggest part was the pain.
That's helped you with like performing now. Do you have like more confidence now when
so
you go?
Much.
Yeah,
dude, so much. It's my special that I filmed. I was watching it because I was editing it today, and I like when I smile. Even now, like when I smile, I show my teeth a lot naturally. And I used to hate when people took stage pictures of me because my teeth were all jacked up and they were broken off and stuff. And my special, my teeth literally shine in the light. And it's like the coolest thing. I took new headshots. It's the best thing I've ever did. It's awesome, man. My mom's going to go next time I go back. She's going to go get her teeth fixed.
Nice.
And I'm trying to pitch it to everyone. I had like one person say, you should never go because of this. And I was like, why should I shouldn't go? She's like, well, my friend said. I'm like, yeah, your friend. I was like, I went. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
Now, it is weird, though, because when you're walking down the street, there's like random dentist offices that have people literally barking outside for you to come in. I don't know them, but like the Sandy Dental Group and the Supreme Dental are like, they're so nice. They're so they did a root canal on me because I had 9 crowns, 3 extractions, 4 implants, multiple bone grafts, a sinus lift, a root canal, a deep gum cleaning. Done in 4 days, and they did the root canal so much, like not no yanking like they do in America. It was just so quick and done. They were amazing.
I don't like the yanking.
No, it should be a
smooth motion.
They not yank. Exactly.
Yeah, we don't need a yank. Yes. We need a smooth motion.
And they grabbed my jaw and they were yanking. They were pressing my jaw
like that. Yeah.
And then once they got it in, they put the
twist on.
Yeah, and it was great.
Yeah, perfect.
And they didn't even charge for that.
And then they give you a little suction at the end.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you.
I saw on Twitter.
Do what?
I saw on Twitter that your mom had asked you for a different procedure.
Yeah, she asked me for a boob job. She's been big on that because now that we're starting to sell out shows. Now, unfortunately, what sucks about selling out shows now is like I'm making money and it's great, but it's like normally if I made this kind of money, I'd be like buying boxes of Atabays or something. But now it just goes towards months of rent because I still haven't got my unemployment. But my mom wants a boob job and she says she doesn't. She got mad at that tweet because everyone at work showed it to her. And they were like, oh, Ann, looks like RD's doing well. And she's like, yeah, that shit wasn't funny. And I was like, you'd ask me for a boob job, which I'm not going to buy her a boob job. I'm not doing it. She doesn't. I'm not making her more attractive. I don't why. I'm 27. I don't need a stepdad.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't need to go there. Okay. So, all right. Last one. It's a hot topic. It's a very popular topic on the show. We have a lot of people that every time that we have somebody on, we always want to know when you poop and you're finished.
Yeah.
Are you a stander or are you a sitter to wipe?
Well, as me and most of America, only people that have problems stand up. People that are Americans and love this country, we sit down when we wipe. We can't stand. So that's the answer to that. And that's the only answer to that question.
Come on, Danny. Come on. Come on over here. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, come on. Look who you're bringing in. You're bringing in General E. Lee to pitch the standing.
Come on, Danny. Come on, Danny.
Come on, Danny. Come on, Danny. Pick up the mullet. Let it fly you over here like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, there you go. Come on. Go ahead. Say what you got to say.
Only people that said that problem.
Yeah, I thought you changed your voice, but you didn't. You look like the Honey Boo Boo's cousin. That's what you right now. You are thick with that hair. You look awful. Yeah, look at both of y'all are the ones. And what's Boom Boom didn't teach you to stand. So I don't know where you learned this insane thing that you do. And you stick by so hard too. Like you're very odd. Have you tried sitting? You would love it so much more.
No, I find it incredibly weird.
That is insane that you find it weird. Also, yeah, like because, what if you have
like
a bidet?
It feels weird. You would stick your hand in the bowl. You know, and you would stick your hand where everything is trapped in there.
It's not. You're so ridiculous.
Trapped in there. Everything is so ridiculous. All of the fumes and everything. And then, you know, like, and then what if you get it on your hand? And then here, the biggest question And then the other thing is like, how do you survey the creation that you've just created sometimes, you know, like, I mean, like, it's like, you know, sometimes you're really proud of it, you know, and you want to know what, you know, don't you want to know what just came out?
Yeah, you can just then wipe your butt, stand up, and then look after.
But you can't see it because you've covered it with all the toilet paper.
I don't use that much toilet paper. I like the days.
And then how do you know when you're done wiping? How do you know when you're done wiping?
What'd you say, Boom Boom?
I say everybody doesn't use half a roll on each experience.
Exactly.
But how do you know that you're done?
It stops showing color.
Yeah, but so you take it and then you look at it and then you go back in?
Sometimes, I mean,
that seems very dangerous.
You are the most ridiculous person I've ever met. First off, I'm gonna get a bidet soon because they're great, and
My mom got me one for Christmas.
So you sit then?
No. The bidet is different. Have you ever used a bidet before?
Multiple times.
Okay, so I'll tell you a little bit of a joke. I got one for you. So the first time I used a bidet, I was down. Oh Lord, I was down in the Dominican Republic, and I was like, "Oh, they have a bidet here. Okay, great, cool. I'm gonna try it out. I wanna see what it's like, you know." And they did. It just had two knobs. It didn't have anything, you know, like it didn't tell you. There were no instructions. It was just the two knobs there. So I sit on it. And I just turned the knob because I played with the knobs a little bit. And I was like, okay, this one controls the water flow. And this one controls, I guess, I don't know what this one does. So I turned on the water flow. And I just start screaming because it was like superheated water.
Oh, yeah.
And it literally scalded me. And I was like, and Leslie's like, what just happened? And I'm like, I'm ashamed because I'm like, well, I just used the bidet and burned my asshole because, you know, because the hotel down here, the bidet, they don't tell you what's hot and what's cold. And it literally like burned me, you know. And so I've been a little bit scared of using a bidet ever since because, you know, I don't know what I'm going to get. You know, then it's scary because if you've burned your butthole once, you don't want to do it again.
Yeah.
You know.
No, that is not great. I do agree with that. That is not great.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll see what the bidet's going. So tomorrow night you are sold out of tickets. How many shows in a row is this that have been sold out?
Vegas, Phoenix, Dallas, Austin. Tuscaloosa, Raleigh. So this will be, was that six or seven? And then, and then Houston will sell out. I'm not sure if Huntsville will sell out because we announced it a little late, but it should get close to selling out. So we're moving.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be six or seven. Every market that we're booking out, we're booking shows in March now. Nashville will sell out. Chattanooga will sell out. So all the shows I'm looking at now, because now I can book out a little bit further. Because at first I didn't know if it was going to last, and then it has lasted. So now I'm booking out more shows. So yeah, I mean, we talked about this, me and you, when I was I told Mr. Randy, I was like, one day we're going to book a show in Tuscaloosa. It's going to sell out in pre-sale. And that's exactly what this one did.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool. Like, I think it's really cool. I'm excited. The only way that you're going to be able to get into the show tomorrow, if you don't already have a ticket, if you buy a box of cigars, you're going to get in the show for free. You're going to get VIP seating. You're going to get a heater, and it's going to be really, really cool. We're really excited about it tomorrow. We're giving away these awesome R&R hats. I've got mine on. Rocky has his on. Boom Boom has his on. Danny's got his on. We're so excited about the hats. We've got a whole swag store ready to go for people to buy boxes. And we're doing 25% off all boxes tomorrow, all day long, for our 9th anniversary party. How cool is that?
It's pretty dope, man. I dig it. Got some of the best, probably the best selection of bourbon, whiskey, and I mean, was it the state? Has to be in Tuscaloosa, obviously, but you could probably the state, huh?
Yeah, it's up there. It's insane. We're doing all that cool stuff. It's 25% off. You're going to get a free hat. You're going to get a free whiskey glass. If you buy a box, you're going to get a free hat and a free whiskey glass. And these are only going to be available tomorrow at our 9th anniversary. The only way you're going to be able to get those things are if you buy a box. And you can get a box or 25% off. It's the only time you're going to be able to get this really, really cool swag. One time for our 9th anniversary. Rocky will be there. What time are we starting the show?
Is it 8, right?
Yeah.
8? Yeah.
So Rocky will be there 8 o'clock tomorrow, live at the mansion. We'll be in the tent. We'll be socially distant. We'll be doing all the cool COVID things that we're supposed to do because somebody decided that's the way that we're supposed to do it. And, you know, trust the science, they say. So we're going to be doing all that. It's going to be an awesome time. We're going to have so much fun. If you have never been to an anniversary party, you really need to come to an anniversary party because it is one of the biggest parties we throw all year long.
Yep.
It's always memorable. Have you ever been to an anniversary party, Rock?
I don't know. I don't know, honestly. But I know the R&R show, the LSU weekend, that was a crazy show, and the inside was packed out too. It was awesome. So everyone that came loved it too. So it's one of the few places I can smoke on stage, and I love it. I love it. Love what we're doing.
Boom Boom, you excited about the show tomorrow?
Boom Boom is loading right now.
Oh no, he got kicked. All right, so. Anyway, we will see you tomorrow. Thank you for coming on the show tonight. Got another, any other last thoughts before we go to the show tomorrow?
No, just come out. 9th anniversary party. Going to be a great time. Get that 25% off that box. Nobody does that. So
literally nobody does that.
Nobody does that.
You've been to a lot of places.
I've never been to a place that does 20% off a box. Not even 25, but
25.
Yeah, exactly. And also in a state that has
20.
Yeah. Every state that most states don't do deals and their taxes are 40% on cigars. So it's wild.
You come to the mansion and you get a hell of a deal and you get some cool stuff. And that is all she wrote. Thank you for coming, Rocky. I enjoyed it. We had a good time as always. If you like the show tonight, check it out. We've got all our other shows on Apple, iTunes, and Spotify. And we have an even better show lined up for you tomorrow at our 9th anniversary party at the mansion. Thank you, Rocky. Thank you, Boom Boom, and everybody for coming. This has been another episode of the R&R Cast, live from the mansion. See you tomorrow.